Well, I wonder what the most important decision has been that you have had to make this morning. Your most important decision this morning. Was it whether to lie to the boss or tell the truth? Was it whether to finish that report or to join that conference call? Was it just whether to eat Shreddies or cornflakes? I don't know. What has been your most important decision that you've had to make this morning? You see, as we reach at the conclusion to Jesus' sermon, Jesus wants us all to realize that there is a decision to be made. Jesus says it is decision time. And he says it's a decision that is even more important than decision over what job you do, a decision even more important than the decision over who you marry. It is a decision, he says, that it is even more important than who the next England football manager should be. This is the decision, says Jesus. I wonder if you could look down at the decision. It's right at the bottom of page 971, right at the start of what Michelle read for us there, verse 13 of chapter 7. Look at that, verse 13. This is the decision, says Jesus. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So Jesus says there, he says there are two gates, there are two roads, there are two destinations, there are two groups of people. He says there's no third way. He says there's no middle option, there's no fence to sit on. Jesus says very starkly, we have two choices. One road is broad, says Jesus. It's easy entry, it's a wide gate onto this road, and there are no boundaries once you get on the road. You can do what you like on this road, tolerance and permissiveness, they're the order of the day. You can live a life of ease without having to keep the standards that Jesus has just laid out in his sermon. And there are loads of people on this road, says Jesus. He says it's great fun on this road. The other road, says Jesus, is narrow. It's narrow to enter the road, and it is narrow once you're on the road too. There are boundaries. It's tough. It's much more difficult. We're required to do what Jesus says. And Jesus says there are only a few people on the narrow road. Now, on the face of it, every single one of us here, we would all choose that broad road, wouldn't we? I mean, no question. It's an easy decision. We would all choose that broad road until we realize the destinations of those two roads. Jesus says, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and narrow is the road that leads to life. And Jesus says to each one of us here, he says it is decision time. Two options, two choices. Which road are we on? Which road? If you're here this lunchtime and you know you're not a Christian yet, if you don't live with Jesus as your Lord, Jesus' message to you is so clear. Start of verse 13, he says, enter through the narrow gate. That's what he says to you. There would be nothing more wonderful than doing that, even today. Knowing that you're heading, as you go through that narrow gate, that you're heading towards life rather than destruction. Knowing a real peace that comes from having your Heavenly Father being in charge of your life. And knowing a purpose to life, perhaps that has been lacking up to this point. About a month ago, I met someone who works just near here. He's quite clear, he is not yet a Christian. And it was very striking what he said to me. He said, he's a very respectable guy, he's in a well-paid job, six-figure salary. And he said this to me. He said, I really envy you as a Christian. You have someone to forgive you for what you've done wrong. He said to me, I've got lots that I regret that I've done in my life. I've got lots I regret and no one to forgive me. I'd love to be able to know I was forgiven. Now you can know that as a Christian, as you enter the narrow gate, forgiveness, because Jesus has paid for your sin. But Jesus is clear too. He doesn't try and sort of pull the wool over our eyes. He says, actually, being on the narrow road, it's not a life of ease. There are few on the road, he says. It's narrow. The Christian is looking to have Jesus as Lord of every area of their lives, their relationships, their wallets, their time, their attitudes, their work. Jesus is Lord over all those areas. And that has a cost. I am no longer Lord of my own life. Jesus is. So
So Jesus says to us very clearly, there is a decision to be made. It's decision time. If you're not yet a Christian, Jesus says, he says, enter through that narrow gate. And if you say, well, Jesus, that's fine in principle, but actually I'm not ready to make that decision yet. I need more evidence. I need to think through whether I can cope with the cost of being a Christian. I understand that in a way, but Jesus says, he says, okay, that's fine. Examine the evidence, work it all out. But he says, realize this, all the while that you're doing this, you are not sitting on the fence waiting to make a decision. He says, actually, you've already made a decision for the moment. He says, there is no fence to sit on. He says, at the moment, you are on the broad road and heading where that leads. You're on the broad road until you decide to enter through the narrow gate of having Jesus as your Lord. But what about those of us, I'm guessing probably the majority of us here, what about those of us who would say, well, actually, I'm a Christian. I am a Christian. I have, at some point in the past, I have entered through that narrow gate. What does Jesus say to us? Well, in one way, Jesus' conclusion to his sermon, it is an encouragement. Because he knows how tough it is as a Christian. He says there are relatively few people on the road. So yes, in this room, the Christians here, we may be in the majority. But in an hour's time, when we're back in our workplaces, Christians will be very much in the minority. And Jesus says he knows that. He knows how tough it is to be in the minority, to try and keep Jesus as your Lord. Jesus knows how tough it is. But Jesus' words in this conclusion, they are actually also a challenge to those of us who think we're on the narrow road. Because Jesus says to us, he wants each one of us to do a bit of examination and just say, let's just check, folks, is this actually deception time? Is this deception time? Are we being deceived? Now, I'm sure you've done this in the car. I certainly have. I think the last time I did it was on the way driving to Enfield, which is a pretty stupid place to drive at the best of time. But I was driving to Enfield, and I was driving along merrily, quite happy, going on my way on the road to Enfield, when suddenly a signpost came up, and it said completely not what I expected the signpost to say. And I suddenly realised that actually all the while, I had been driving along on completely the wrong road. And Jesus says to us, who think we're on the narrow road, let's us just check. If we're not doing exactly the same thing, we think we're going along on the narrow road, but actually no, we're going along on the broad road. Jesus says, let's just check, we're not being deceived. And he says actually that there are two ways that we could be deceived. And the first way is being deceived by others, being deceived by other people, by the false prophets that are mentioned in verses 15 to 20. You see, Jesus, he makes it very clear, doesn't he? He says, two gates, two roads, two groups of people, two destinations. But false prophets either distort the Christian gospel, so it's very difficult to find that narrow gate, or they imply that that narrow road is much broader than it actually is. Or they say, actually, this broad road, it doesn't lead to destruction. Destruction doesn't really exist. And so Jesus urges each one of us to watch out that we're not being deceived by other people. Have a look at what he says in verse 15. Look at verse 15. He says there, watch out for false prophets, that they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. So Jesus says, he says, don't be dazzled by the sheep's clothing, by the externals. Don't be dazzled by someone being a vicar or a professor or a bishop. Don't be taken in by outward charm or good looks or intellect or a public school background or whatever it is. Jesus says, don't be deceived by the externals, but rather look beneath the surface at the fruit of the person's life. That's the next verse, verse 16. He says, by their fruit you shall recognize them. By their fruit. But perhaps more worryingly than being deceived by others, Jesus says, actually, we can be deceived as to which road we're on. We can think we're on the narrow road, but actually we may be on the broad road, and we can deceive not by others, but we can be deceived by ourselves, says Jesus. We can actually be deceived by ourselves. And there are two ways we can do this. Either, first of all, we can be deceived by saying but not doing. By saying but not doing. Now this is the challenge in verses 21 to 23 that Jesus gives us. Just have a look, if you would, verse 21 and what Jesus says there. He says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And these people that Jesus is talking about here, they look like genuine Christians, don't they? They say all the right things. All they say is great. Lord, Lord, did I not tell my colleagues at work? I told all of them I'm a Christian. Lord, Lord, did I not invite three of my colleagues to the half-hour lunch last month? All of them came. Lord, Lord, I did that. It's no good saying Jesus is our Lord if we're not actually looking to submit to him as Lord of our lives. That's verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. But Jesus says, saying but not doing, it's no good. He says it needs to be saying plus doing. So that's the first way of deceiving ourselves, saying but not doing. The second way we deceive ourselves is not so much about our mouths as about our ears. Jesus says the second way we can deceive ourselves is by hearing but not doing. By hearing but not doing. And this is the challenge of the wise and foolish builders. Now I guess we know the story well, the wise and the foolish builders. There's plenty of similarities between the two of them, aren't they? They both hear Jesus' words. They hear Jesus' words loud and clear. They both build houses. They both build houses that look pretty impressive at first glance. And in fact, we only see the difference between the wise and the foolish builder. We only see the difference when the storm comes, the storm of trials in this life or the storm of God's final judgment. And it is then that we see the difference. The house on the rock, it stays standing. The house on the sand, it falls with a great crash. And do you know what the difference is between? Why is that case? Why does one stand, one fall? Jesus makes it abundantly clear. Just look, would you, at verse 24. Look at what he says. Verse 24, he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Then just compare that to verse 26. Look at verse 26. He says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. So that's the key, says Jesus. Putting his words into practice. Not just hearing his words with our ears, not just hearing them, but actually putting them into practice. And that's a challenge to me. I guess it's a challenge to most of you too. I mean, I think back over this series, the last 5 weeks, I have heard Jesus' words loud and clear. As we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, I've heard them loud and clear. Do not worry, he says. Do not look at a woman lustily, he says. Do to others what you would have them do to yourself, he says. I've heard all those things loud and clear. It's just sometimes I haven't been putting them into practice. And I would guess, for most of us, it is exactly the same. So where does that leave us? Where does it leave us? Does this mean that Jesus is telling us that we must be perfect, otherwise we're not really a Christian? Does it actually mean that there is no one on this narrow road? Where does it leave us? Well, I think Matthew, the gospel writer, he shows us where it leaves us as we just see what happens immediately after the Sermon on the Mount. Just look at the start of chapter 8, there at the top of the column. Just look at what happens immediately after Jesus finishes his sermon. Look at verse 1. When he, that's Jesus, came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before Jesus and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. You see, above all, Jesus' whole Sermon on the Mount, it is telling us we are just like this man with leprosy. Every single one of us, just like this man, in need of cleansing. You see, when we see Jesus' perfect standards, when we see how often, how far we fall short of his perfect standards, how we're unable to meet these standards, the only thing we can do is be just like this man with leprosy and come to Jesus and cry out those words of verse 2. Lord Jesus, if you are willing, you, only you, Jesus, you can make me clean. We've seen decision time. We've seen deception time. And as we close, this is dependence time. dependence time. We need to depend on Jesus. We can only receive that cleansing for our sin, for not meeting Jesus' perfect standards. We can only receive that from Jesus. We can't cleanse ourselves. People on the narrow road, people who are part of Jesus' kingdom, are those who come to Jesus and who depend on Jesus for cleansing. Lord, if you are willing, you, only you, Jesus, you can make me clean. It's how you enter through the narrow gate. It's how you keep going on the narrow road, by depending on Jesus. Depending on Jesus for cleansing. Depending on Jesus for the strength to live as cleansed people as we look to battle with our sin in our lives. As we look to obey all that Jesus says. As we look to obey all he says about our life at work. As we look to obey all he says about our life outside of work. The key, says Jesus, is to depend on him. Let's pray. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Lord Jesus, we come to you, depending on you. We can't meet your perfect standards. So please cleanse us of our sin. Please forgive us. Please help us. Help us not just be hearers. Help us not just be sayers. But instead help us to do what you want. Particularly, Lord Jesus, where we struggle at work. Where we struggle in how we relate to our colleagues. Where we struggle in being an influence for you. Where we struggle with how we deal with our money. Or how we deal with the stress in our lives. Where we struggle with our whole character at work. We come to you, depend on you, say, please, Jesus, help us. And for any here who have been struck this lunchtime that they are actually on that broad road, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help them to enter the narrow gate as they depend on you and as they look to put you as Lord of their life. Amen.